station. AM 1060, WBIX.
3, 2, 1.
Steve Bailey.
You see, we deal in stocks that really move.
Charlie Stein.
I'd love to show you what I mean, and I can do so on a relatively small investment.
The Business Talk Jug.
I just want you to test me out. I want you to judge me on the percentages I show you.
This is On the Money with Bailey and Stein.
I'm asking you to start small, just to prove what I can do for you.
On The Business Station.
All right, let's try.
AM 1060, WBIX.
Look, you made a great decision, all right?
Good morning, I'm Charlie Stein, half of the duo of Bailey and Stein. Steve Bailey remains on vacation in South Carolina, oblivious to the news, I'm sure. But this morning I'm joined by a co-host from the Boston Globe, D.C. Dennison, who edits the innovation section. He's been here before. I want to welcome him back. D.C., thanks for being here this morning on WBIX.
Oh, good to be here.
Okay, terrific. We got a busy show today. We'll tap DC's technology knowledge several times here this morning. Later in the show, we'll talk about sports fans. There's a big, kind of a big audience on the web for streaming video, for listening in in real time to ball games, and how that's a growing business on the web. We'll also talk to Sean Kravitz, a hedge fund manager, one of our favorite stock pickers, always has some interesting picks to talk about. And we'll also have Ben Lipson, a guy I've known for a long time, as an expert in long-term care insurance. I was reading the Boston Globe last week, our own Chuck Jaffe's column, and stumbled upon something that I did not know, that long-term care insurance is something where the price can keep going up. You know, I always assumed, you know, you sort of had a contract and they had to honor it. Not so. Ben will be here to tell you about that and what you could or should do about it. We'll also talk about the contest as well, so we'll be busy this morning. DC, let's start out talking a little tech here. The big story, I think, in the tech world last week was the virus. Give me the name of it again.
So big virus.
I was going to say, it sounds like some of those emails we all get.
Yeah.
too many of during the week, speaking of another side of technology. But it struck me that although obviously the world did not end here, this was one of the scarier kind of attacks we've seen, don't you think?
Yeah, I think there were a number of elements. I mean, you referred to spam, and it was kind of a combo of a computer virus and a spam generator. So that's why everyone's mailbox was filling up so quickly. The other scary part of it was these Trojan horse programs that they were, you know, you have no idea if these programs are on your computer, and they can be remotely...
Is that what people refer
Trojan
to
Trojan horse, yeah.
Well, at least you have to have read your mythology.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so do they work?
Well, the way they work is, you know, behind the scenes, this tiny little program will load onto your computer, and it can be remotely activated, so you don't know it's there, and because it's kind of been downloaded from the Internet. And the person who created it can kind of set it off at any time. And Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time was the time that the creator was going to set this off. And all these programs could have launched, like email attacks and overwhelming sort of traffic surges. And they were able to sort of get ahead of him and disable the computers he was going to use. But it was pretty scary. And then there was another one on Sunday, but
it has the feel of one of these science fiction movies where sort of remotely they activate the chip in your head and you kill the guy next to you.
Yeah.
You know, and these people who do it, I assume, I'm going to guess it's malicious or more like a prank as opposed to terrorism. But obviously the line is thin, I think, you know, whether you get a deranged person or somebody with a specific agenda, but the potential to sort of, you know, at a low level annoy everybody and at a higher level really screw things up is pretty alarming.
Yeah, I think one of the scary things about this latest one was there did seem to be a reason for it beyond just impressing girls. I think the funny thing about a lot of these viruses is when they finally track the person down, if they can, and if they do, they find that it's like a teenager who's trying to impress a girl, you know, who's trying to go to school and say, hey, look at the mischief I just did. But this one seemed to have sort of layers and secondary reasons and sort of pragmatic reasons that, you know, it was very well thought out in the way it placed things on computers and then would use those computers to launch another level of attack. So it was a sort of one level higher in complexity.
I'm certainly no expert in this, but it feels to me like we're starting down the road to kind of what's going to be a permanent sort of arms and counter arms race. There are going to be people figuring out new ways to do this, and there are going to be the other guys who are going to have to counter this. And it's sort of like the arms race. It can kind of go on forever, I suppose.
Yeah, the significant thing to know about So Big is this last one was So Big F. It was, you know, that version. And
oh, what happened to the first five? Were they just smaller?
Well, yeah, and it's not always the same guy. You know, somebody sees how F worked and said, oh, they foiled it this way, but wait a minute, let's try a G where instead of going to just 20 servers to pull down the stuff, will have a universe of 100 and they won't know which of those will be pulling the program from. So there's going to be numerous iterations of this.
Yeah, and the other thing I guess that's sort of obvious about the Internet, but maybe it needs to be said again here, like a lot of technologies in the past, by linking us together, it creates great opportunities, but it also creates the potential for real disaster. I mean, even like if you make a small parallel to what happened to the grid, it used to be the electric grid was all these separate little things. You
right.
know, when they went down, it was a disaster locally, but it didn't matter if you lived, you know, in the next grid. But, you know, linking them together created advantages. But again, if something bad happens, we're all in this soup together.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the science of networks is going to be a real area of growth in terms of, you know, in terms of physics, sociology, technology, how networks work, nodes, replication, stuff like that. You know, that's going to be a real growing field, I think.
Okay, very good. Let's get to the stock contest, and we'll move on to our first guest. Okay, as you know, we run a stock picking contest here. Every Friday, I pick a stock. Bailey picks a stock. Actually, last week, Steve Sire picked a stock. And whoever stock is ahead at the end of the week, we will send you our handsome, and I emphasize the word handsome, plaque made for us by Blanch and Son, a reliable premier provider of all types of fine quality promotional presentation and sports related items. That's blanchandson.com, or call them at 781-286-1004. I'll tell you who lost the stock picking contest. Yours truly, down a whopping 22% in a single week. Almost unheard of.
Sorry, Charlie.
The only consolation is that the runner-up at the bottom was Bailey, who was down 11%. But some people were actually at the other end.
Loser.
And the top, the winner was Bob from Lowell. He picked Electric City Corp. He was up almost 21% for the week. A pretty good week on a, you know, in a week when the market really only went up modestly, and he's on the line with us. Bob from Lowell, thanks for being with us here on The Business Station, WBIX.
Thanks a lot. I got to say, I really enjoy your show.
Oh, good. I'm glad you do. You got to tell us who Electric City Corp is.
Yeah, I stumbled across them in Barron's, just a little tiny write-up on them a few weeks back, and they just basically do electricity conservation for municipalities. I don't think they're not a very big operation. I think they're pretty much in Chicago.
You may have gotten an unexpected bounce from the blackout.
Yeah, as soon as I saw the blackout, I decided I was going to call in.
Definitely, that was a good call.
Yeah. Good call, Bob. So, was this the first time you've ever won?
Yes, first time player, first time winner.
Excellent, terrific. And if you were going to pick a stock for this week, do you have a name for us?
You know what? My brother's had quite a run with AMD, so I think I'd have to pick them.
AMD, it's been a good time for chip stocks. Well, listen, Bob, thanks for calling us. Good to talk to you, and keep playing our contest.
Thanks a lot, I will.
Okay, excellent. Okay, we're going to switch gears here. We're going to go a little old economy here on us. So we're going to talk about long-term care insurance. I was reading the Globe last week. I came across a column by our colleague and co-host, Chuck Jaffe, about long-term care insurance, and it told me something I certainly didn't know, and I'm guessing if I didn't know it, other people didn't know it as well. And so I said, well, we got to get Ben Lipson on the line. Ben is an expert about long-term care insurance. He's written a book on the subject, and we're going to talk to him this morning about it. First of all, Ben Lipson, thanks for being with us here on WBIX.